Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 begins, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should feed her, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. You know, as we study the book of Revelation, it's what makes it so difficult is a lot of you going along on a timeline, and then you get a parenthetical group of chapters that kind of fill in things and it's hard to stay up with where you are. And we know that the seventh trumpet has sounded, but yet we're not going to see the events of the seven trumpets for quite a while. You see, the seventh trumpet is going to usher in the 7 vials of wrath. So we're going to be seeing some different characters and some different things that John is seeing. I think a lot of it, at least to me, is just explanatory. Maybe, you know, they may have understood things back then, but maybe it was for the future so that we would understand. And I tell you something else. I try to keep things as simple as I can. And when something just jumps off the page at me and I can't find anything to refute it or that it violates something, then that's generally what I go with. I've studied a lot of different commentators. And again, you're going to find a whole lot of different ideas of who this woman is. You're going to find a lot of different ideas of what time frame and when this is happening and everything else. But there are just some things that to me are plain, and I try not to complicate it. When you look at this woman that's here, and again, what I'm trying to get to is this. It is chopped up in so many different pieces, it's hard to put everything together, okay? But this is what I see that we're looking at today. I think we're looking at a scene that depicts what's going on between good and evil, that depicts what's going on between Israel and Satan or the Antichrist. I think he's trying to go back and show us that the problem that you have in the tribulation period or the 70th week or even the time of Jacob's trouble is nothing new. This is not something that's just cropped up. This is not something that hasn't been happening all along, because it has. Because Israel has always been on the end of suffering. Israel has always been on the end of somebody trying to wipe her off the face of the earth. Now, having said that, I want you to understand that, again, don't be dogmatic. Reserve the right to change your mind on the book of Revelation. Some people think that the woman here is the church. I don't see it being the church. The reason I don't is because she brings forth a man-child. That man-child is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. That's Jesus Christ. Folks, the church did not produce or create or whatever you want to call it, Jesus Christ. He created them. So I don't think it's the church. There was a lady that thought that she was probably the fulfillment of this. Her name was Mary Baker Patterson Glover Eddy. She claimed that she was the woman and the religion she gave birth to in 1879. Christian Science was the boy child. Now, I don't have to go too far to explain that's not the case. I mean, I think anybody can see that. But some people think that this is Mary. That is talking about Mary. Well, folks, there are just so many things here that it won't be Mary. For one, Mary didn't descend or hasn't ascended from heaven the way that it shows this. And you say, well, Israel hasn't either. But Israel was created out of heaven by God. You know, it's a heavenly creation, I guess you could say. But even with that, there's just so many other things that I don't believe that it's Mary. Look at her description. First of all, it says she is clothed with the sun. That speaks of heavenly glory. The moon is under her feet. This speaks of dominion and power. She wears a crown. That speaks of royalty. The 12 stars speak of the 12 tribes of Israel. I think that she's none other than Israel. I don't think it could be anybody else other than Israel. Israel, even though Israel is masculine, she's referred to in the Old Testament as God's wife. Ship. And when you look at that, then you have no trouble seeing that the man-child, Jesus Christ, was brought forth from his wife, Mary. Not Mary, but Israel. Mary just happened to represent Israel. She was just the human person that God chose to bring his son into this world. You know, you go over to Genesis chapter 37. Here's one of the reasons that I think this way. Genesis chapter 37. You remember old Joseph had a dream down in verse 9? And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" Joseph viewed the nation of Israel at that time as being the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. Now, why not 12? Because he's the 12th star. So now we have this description of a woman in, you know, that's a great sign or a great wonder. It's something that is being put there so that people, so that John and those that would read his letter would stop and think about. And now, why don't you put up a sign so people will consider what it says? I mean, you advertise something, you put up a big banner, you put up a billboard or something, you put up a sign to get people's attention. So this gets his attention, and this right here alone talks about the fact that it should be Israel. Genesis 15 and 5 says there, you know, the seed of Abraham is compared to the stars of heaven. This verse reminds us that we already know it's true. God is not finished with Israel, even at this point in the 70th week of Daniel. He's not finished with her. If he was finished with her, if he'd have wanted to have gotten rid of her, he could have done that a long time ago. He's still in the business right now of bringing Israel back to him. All the plays, all the players are being put into position. Everything, the technology, whatever it takes to get Israel back to God in a rightful relationship is being put into play. So he's not through with her yet. Thank God he's not through with her. She's here in the throes of childbirth. She's in great travail as she's trying to bring forth this child into the world. You know, I'm just going to throw this out to you. There's no way in the world I can prove this. But it's just an interesting thought. In the tribulation period, the first half's not going to be too bad for Israel. There's a peace treaty. But then the Antichrist is going to reveal himself in the middle. That man of sin will be revealed. And then the time of Jacob's trouble is going to take over. And she's going to be persecuted. She's going to be under a lot of pain. And folks, do you know that Jesus, they're still looking for the Messiah. And I don't think that this pain's going to go away until they have returned to Christ. So it's all a part of getting everything to where Christ will return bodily to the earth. At the end of the tribulation period, the Lord's going to return fully and completely to the earth. He's already come and got those who are saved at the rapture. And then a period of time will pass, and then he's going to come back and literally rule and reign with a rod of iron from the throne of David for 1,000 years. That would be another reason for me. Like I said, it's just me thinking, but I can see that as like a woman travailing in pain. And I, when we get to the old devil, I'm going to also explain this to you. The old devil has done everything he can to keep Jesus from being born, and he'll do everything he can to keep him from coming back too. He knows he can't. Her destiny, she's pictured as childbirth, reminds us, and this goes back, it also has the application of going back to the birth of Christ. It pictures the nation of Israel that God used to bring a Savior into the world. Jesus Christ is Jewish, Matthew 1 and 11. He's called both the son of David and the son of Abraham. When God gave the great prophecy in chapter 3 of Genesis, in verse 15, he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Folks, the woman is Israel, and the seed of the woman is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our professors in seminary used to put it this way: Jesus Christ is the only child, only boy child, that or the only child that God and Israel ever had. He's the only begotten Son of God. The only one. There's no duplicate. There's nobody else out there. He's totally and uniquely the Son of God. The nation of Israel, God chose them to be the womb, so to speak, through which the Son would be born into the world. This woman was in travail. She's about to give birth. Calls to mind all the pains and the persecutions and the suffering that Israel has gone through. Calls to mind of all the things that have tried to short circuit the plan of God. In fact, Jesus was born, the nation of Israel was writhing under the iron heel of the Roman Empire. This expectant woman then is Israel. Not the church, not Mary, and not some human female. We're talking about the nation of Israel. Now that we've established the personality of the woman, let's look at the persecutor of this woman. In verse 3, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." When we look at this description, the color red has already been established as being war and bloodshed. Brings to mind the red horse of Revelation 6 and 4. The dragon is a killer. He brings death, war, bloodshed, destruction when he comes. Folks, Satan loves to destroy. Satan loves to kill. Satan will do anything he can to tear up anything that has to do with God, including God's creation. He's called a dragon. Dragon, folks, is a winged serpent. No such thing in them. We don't have any winged dragons in our world that I know of, but it's a picture of the devil. A very, look at verse 9 in this same chapter. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." I have no problem in saying that this other sign, this other wonder, this red dragon was the old devil himself. He has 7 heads. 7 is completion. But here it speaks of vast intelligence. We're dealing with a brilliant creature. Ezekiel says this of him in 28 and 12, "Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." You see, the old devil hasn't always been bad, and he hadn't always been the devil. He was created as Lucifer. Lucifer was a beautiful angel. Lucifer was given charge of God, and he was full of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, here's a person or an entity in the old devil that I am sure when he became the devil, he didn't lose his intelligence. He kept the same intelligence that he had before. So now you're talking about someone that's full of wisdom. He was perfect in his beauty. And now he's the old devil. Sin was found in him. He's the one that said that he would exalt himself above the stars and above the throne of God. He wanted to be worshipped as God. "I will be like the Most High." And God cast him out of his government. That's when he became the old devil. Come down here and threw him a little temper tantrum. But he still, that started it right there. He's bad. He always has been. But he's extremely intelligent. And, you know, we picture him as the red dragon. We picture him as a trident and a pitchfork and a sharp pointed tail with little horns. My Bible tells me over in the New Testament that his angels are able to transform themselves into ministers of light. You know, if you saw the old devil in his ugliness, you would run in front of hide, wouldn't you? So he comes to you dressed up beautiful. He's smart. He's wily. He knows how to get your attention. Look what he did to the woman in the Garden of Eden. Evidently, the animal that came to her, there was nothing to be afraid of. Why would that be? Because there was no sin at that time. The animals had not yet started biting people. She wasn't afraid of anything there. But maybe this one was even more beautiful than anything else in the garden. He may have come to her in the form of a serpent that looked different from all others, that was most beautiful of all. What's some of the most dangerous animals on the face of the earth? The most beautiful. You know, a coral snake is pretty. And they're cute, but they are deadly. So some of the most poisonous things on the face of the earth are the most beautiful things also. That's the way Satan works. Look at the 10 horns. The 10 horns are a symbol of power. Is Satan all powerful? No, he's not. We prove that by the book of Job, because God told him, you can do anything to Job, but you can't kill him. There's only one all-powerful, almighty God, and nobody is stronger than him. And nothing that he's created is going to have his power. Satan is not all-powerful, and he is not all-present. He's not everywhere, but he has his little demons running around everywhere. And they're powerful, but they're not more powerful than God. But the number 10 here may refer to the 10-nation kingdom that we saw over in the book of Daniel. The revival of the Roman Empire. And then there's going to be this one individual will take over 3 of these nations and the other 7 will fall in behind him. That's the Antichrist. Maybe it speaks of that kind of power. Maybe it will be a league of nations under this controlling influence of the old devil that has this kind of power. The 7 crowns are a symbol of authority. The Bible tells us, and even Jesus said it, that Satan is the prince of this world, or the prince in the power of the air. Paul told the Corinthians that Satan was the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. This dragon, the old devil, has a reference here to a third of the stars being cast down to the earth by the tail of the dragon. You go all the way back to the fall in Ezekiel 28:12-15. And you'll find that a third of the angels went with him at that time. And you may say, well, maybe this is something different. It could be. It could be that something else happened. But it sure fits right here. And that's what I'm saying. The simplicity of it to me, when there's something that just fits, you leave it alone. And don't try to spiritualize it more than it is. See, pride was found in Lucifer's heart. He tried to take God's throne. He sinned and became Satan. And when he was cast out of heaven in Isaiah 14:15, Ezekiel 28:16-18, he drew 1/3 of the angels of heaven into his rebellion. They were cast out of heaven as well. We call these fallen angels demons. They are all a part of Satan's kingdom and do his bidding, Ephesians 6:12. So you've got the devil and you've got Israel. And you're seeing a spiritual conflict here. And it's going to be seen in the plans of the dragon. What are the plans of the dragon? Look in verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. He tried to do everything he could do to keep this baby from being born. He did all of it. You know, he's been at work from the very beginning trying to thwart God's plan. He had worked from the beginning of time in order to prevent the birth of the promised seed of the woman, all the way back to Genesis 3:15. God had made a prophecy right there. And he started out right then trying to keep that prophecy from happening. He trying to devour or to destroy. What does he do? He moved Cain to kill Abel, thinking he could stop God's plan. He didn't know that God would send a Seth. He tried to corrupt the human bloodline by having the godly line of Seth intermarry with the evil line of Cain. He forgot about Noah, who was perfect in his generations. Here was a man that stayed true to the faith line. God wiped out everybody else and started all over with a pure bloodline. He aroused Esau to anger so that Jacob might be killed. He didn't know that God would help Jacob escape. Every time, you know, it's just like a chess match. The old devil moves his player here to thwart this, and God just takes care of it, just counters the move. Every time, I mean, he can't get ahead of God. He's not smarter than God. He's intelligent, but he's not that intelligent. He tried to kill off the Jews in Egypt. Remember that? He had the Pharaoh to make the declaration that all the boy babies should be thrown into the Nile River. He was trying to destroy right there. If you'd had them all thrown into the river, eventually they would have died out. But we know that God had another plan with Moses, don't we? He tried to lead Israel away into idolatry, thinking that God would destroy the nation. What did God do? He took them into captivity and got that out of their system ever since. He failed in every attempt to stop the birth of Christ. And when the time came for Jesus to enter the world, he did everything to slay Christ's child when he was an infant. He had Herod to destroy all the boy babies in Jerusalem under the age of 2. Guess what? The Lord just sent him on an all expense paid trip to Egypt to get him out of the way. Satan has been trying to destroy or to keep Christ from doing what he was sent here to do, what he came here to do, because he knew that if he died on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day, his fate would still be sealed. But I'm telling you, if he could, he would stop Jesus from coming back today. If there was any way possible, he would stop Jesus from coming back to the earth. So now let's look at the progeny or the offspring of this woman. He's called a man-child. The seed of this woman came into the world like every other baby. Came from the womb of his mother. But this would be a child different from all others. As I said earlier, it would be the only baby boy that Israel and his wife would ever, or that God and his wife Israel would ever have. Chosen to come through the Virgin Mary, she represented the entire nation. She represented all of them. This seed would be born without a human father, Matthew 1:20. His mother would be a virgin. We know the Old Testament scriptures. He was and is God in the human flesh. It's clear that the seed of the woman here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that. And look what he was destined to do. When he comes back the second time, folks, he's coming to rule the nation with a rod of iron. This man-child would come into the world. He would one day rule the world. Right now, he came the first time to seek and to save that which was lost. This next time, he's coming back as the king riding on a white charger. That was his destiny. It's just a build-up to it when we get to the 70th week of Daniel. A man-child is pictured as being caught up to God, to the throne. That's a good, you know, that's a good news there of the resurrection, isn't it? Old Satan had him put to death, but he didn't stay dead. Did he? He didn't stay dead. One of these days, he's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's King Jesus, and that's who we serve. This story's not over. This woman is going to be persecuted relentlessly by the old dragon. By the red dragon, by Satan, the Antichrist, the beast. All those people that are following them during the end time. The woman flees from the dragon. Look at her distress in verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. You know, it looks to me like this is going to happen somewhere right about the middle of the tribulation period. And what I see is when the abomination of desolation is set up and they realize that they've been fooled by the Antichrist, Satan's going to do everything he can to do away with Israel. Can't keep Jesus from coming back. I'll just destroy Israel. Is that anything new? No. History, the Old Testament, it's all filled with people who have tried to annihilate the Jews. They're filled with hatred and persecution, racism and murder, all aimed at the Jew. There was a fellow by the name of Adolf Hitler did his best to destroy the Jew in what he called the final solution. He managed to murder over 6 million in the death camps of Nazi Germany, but he didn't destroy the nation. Before that, you got Joseph Stalin that killed millions in the gulags of Soviet Union. You're not ever going to stomp out Israel. And any nation today that goes against Israel is going against a stacked deck. You know what I'm saying? They can't win. That's why I hope and pray to the Lord God in heaven that the people in positions to make decisions in our country, for our country, never ever turn their back on Israel. And we don't have to agree with them on everything, but we better continue to be their friend. Because when you get on the opposite side of Israel, you're on the losing side. That's what Satan wants people to do. He wants people to be turned against the Jews, trying to wipe them out. It's not going to happen. But it goes stronger every day, doesn't it? But they're survivors, and they're going to keep surviving. He hates Israel because she's a constant reminder to him that his power is limited. He hates her because she is a constant reminder to him of the glory that he used to wear. The glory of heaven rests on Israel just as it used to rest on him. Then the deliverance. Israel will find a refuge in the wilderness somewhere when this takes place and she flees. I don't know where it's going to be. For years, and it may be the place, they've thought it would be the Edomite city of Petra. Now, I didn't look this up, but I was reading a sermon. And they believed it so strongly that in the 1920s, there was a man in the United States known as W.E. Blackstone. He believed that's where they were going to go and hide so strongly that he bought $8,000 worth of books and placed them in boxes in the caves in Petra, so that the Jews would have something interesting to read when they were hiding from the ravages of war. Now, if you look at it from warfare of the past, Petra would probably have been a pretty safe place. But folks, we've got bombs today that can put it right down the chimney of a house. Petra's not a very safe place anymore. I'm going to submit to you that she's going to flee to some country that's going to protect her, or a group of countries. Now, I might be wrong about that. It could be Petra, but it could be the other. Back in the days when this book was written, they didn't know anything about air travel. Down through the years, they would have had to have gotten to this wilderness place by foot. Well, look where they're surrounded. Now, God could protect them anywhere. But you know what? We've got the days when we could send enough jets in there to airlift everybody out of Israel. Every one of them. And we could airplanes could bring them from all four points of the earth right here to the good old United States of America. I don't know if we're the ones that's going to do that. Some people say it is because it says that she's going to be given wings like an eagle. And the eagle is representing the United States. Maybe it is. I don't know. That's one of those that's neat to speculate, but there's no way in the world we're going to know until it happens. But here's what we do know. She will be delivered. She will be protected. Nothing is going to cause Israel to go out of existence. You're going to have the 144,000 that will be preaching. The two witnesses will be preaching. Eventually, the remnant of Israel will turn back to the Lord as a nation. And she'll be restored to that sweet marital relationship with God. And they'll go bodily into the millennial reign of Christ when this baby that was spoken of today sets up his rule and reign from the throne of David for 1,000 years. Biggest thing I get out of this, again, is God's always been in control. He's still in control. I just need to make sure that my heart and my life is right with Him and that I never, ever go against Israel.